Today we want to continue our series in Ruth. It is a story of God's faithfulness. The message today is titled Amazing Love. And we're going to be in the book of Ruth, chapter 3. But many people have different responses to the question, what is love? Seldom, if you get two people together, seldom will they ever really agree on what love is. There's a story of a little girl who answered that love is when her daddy tucks her into bed at night and reads her a story. She goes on to say, true love is when he doesn't skip any pages. You get responses like, love is a mother, love is a father. How about love is when my sister leaves me alone? Love is your parents letting you have your way. Love is a lesson in human frailty. Love is a candle lit at both ends, and when it meets, it extinguishes itself. Should I do that one again? Okay, listen to this. Love is a candle lit at both ends, and when it meets, it extinguishes itself. Okay, they get better. I mean, worse. Listen to this one. You're all going, what is that? Listen to this one. You're going to love this. Love is the dim glow of the candle flame of hope that is buried at the bottom of a well so deep that on a no moon night, peering over the edge as far as possible, you cannot detect the feeble flame, even though you know it's there. But the rope you have is only 5 foot long. What is all? Isn't that amazing? People's idea of love. How about love is sitting at the window, looking out and remembering who you were the night before? I have all kinds of different things. People have all kinds of ideas of what love is. How about this one? Love, this is from Sophocles. One word frees us of all the weight and pain of life. That word is love. Love is friendship set on fire. Love is a violin. The music may stop now and then, but the strings remain forever. Love doesn't make the world go round. Love is what makes the ride worthwhile. That's Elizabeth Browning. Love, here you go, this one, by Dr. Seuss. Some of you may have already seen this and stuff. When you are in love, you can't fall asleep because reality is better than your dreams. You come to love not by finding the perfect person, but by seeing an imperfect, person perfectly. The best and most beautiful thing in the world cannot be seen or even touched. They must be felt with your heart. And that one was by Helen Keller. Love is where fantasy meets reality. And what I want for you to do right now is I have a video for you to watch, and it is a little bit about love.
Splendid thing, love. Lift us up where we belong. All you need is love.
Please don't start that again.
All you need is love.
A girl has got to eat.
All you need is love.
She'll end up on the street.
All you need is love.
Love is just a game.
I was made for loving you, baby. You were made for loving me.
The only way of loving me, baby, is to pay a lovely fee.
Just one night, just one night.
There's no way, 'cause you can't pay.
In the name of love. One night in the name of love.
I won't give in to you.
Don't leave me this way. I can't survive without your sweet love. Oh, baby, don't leave me this way.
You'd think that people would have had enough of silly love songs.
I look around me and I see it isn't so, no.
Some people want a better world with silly love songs.
Well, what's wrong with that? I'd like to know. cause here I go again. Love lifts us up when we belong.
Get down.
Where eagles fly on a mountain high.
Love makes us act like we are fools. Throw our lives away for one happy day.
We can be heroes just for one day.
You will be me.
No, I won't.
And I'll drink all the time.
We should be lovers.
We can't do that.
We should be lovers, and that's a fact.
Love. Anybody responses? What is love? Anybody? Anybody? To you, when you think of the word love, what runs through your mind? Chocolate ice cream. Yes. Now, some of you were thinking the same thing. You just weren't brave enough to say it, were you? And even if you weren't, now you are. Anybody else? Love is for better or worse, okay. God's love, okay. Anybody else? What is love? When you think of it, what do you think of? Family. What was it? Family? Eternity. See, what you do is you realize by some of the responses we had here and the other ones I had, a lot of people have no idea of what love is. What love is all about. But today, we have before us a picture of love. And it is a picture of God's love. Did you know that God is the source and the sum of all love? It involves, today's story, it involves the lives of Naomi and Ruth and Boaz and also you and I. For those who haven't been here these past couple weeks, let me try to get you up to date, get you going up to speed with us. Naomi and Elimelech, who were a husband, they moved to the land of Moab because there's a famine. Because the grass is going to be greener over in Moab, and they know that. Now they get over to Moab, and Elimelech dies. So that leaves Naomi with her two sons. Okay. After several years, her sons get married to two Moabite women who are named Orpah and Ruth. And then Orpah and Ruth, their husbands, Mahlon and Chilion, they die. So Naomi's sons die. So that leaves Naomi and Orpah and Ruth widows with nobody to take care of them. Naomi gets word that over back at her home in Israel, the famine's over. So she's going to go home. And she urges her two daughter-in-laws, go back to your people. Go to your villages, go to your towns, go back to your people, because somebody there will take care of you. Orpah says, okay, I'm going to go home. And Ruth says, nope, I'm going to go with you. I am going to cling with you wherever you go. So Naomi and Ruth travel back to Israel. And Ruth goes, we have to survive somehow. So Ruth says, I am going to go out into the fields. I'm just going to walk. It's the barley harvest time. I'm going to go out in the fields and I'm going to walk around. And I'm going to see if there's some place where I can gather some grain for us. She just so happens to start gathering in a field which is owned by a man whose name is Boaz. And Boaz is a kinsman redeemer. So our story, she finds favor in Boaz's eyes, and he allows her to do all kinds of things and gleaning and providing for her. So our story is quickly coming to a pinnacle, is coming to a point. And that involves love and redemption. Today, we want to look at love. And next week, we want to celebrate the block party. So in 2 weeks, we're going to, see, that was my plug. I got it in. 2 weeks, we are going to be looking at redemption. So today is love. 2 weeks, we'll look at redemption. To get a clearer picture of what love is about, we don't want to go to the worldview, which was the video we saw, which is a decent video, and so that, but we want to see what God has to say about it. We want to take it from the wheat of God's love. And what I want to do for you is I'm going to read for you from the book of Ruth, chapter 3, and you can either follow along or you can listen, sit there and listen if you want. And I'll never get used to this, but I'm putting them on again. Here's what Ruth chapter 3 says. Wow, it's amazing how much bigger this stuff is. One day, Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, should I not try to find a home for you where you will be well provided for? Is not Boaz, with whose servant girls you have been, a kinsman of ours? Tonight, he will be winnowing barley on the threshing floor. Wash and perfume yourself and put on your best clothes. Then go down to the threshing floor. But don't let him know you are there until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, note the place where he is lying. Then go and uncover his feet and lay down. He will tell you what to do." "I will do whatever you say," Ruth answered. So she went down to the threshing floor and did everything her mother-in-law told her to do. When Boaz had finished eating and drinking and was in good spirits, he went over to lay down on the far end of the grain pile. Ruth approached quietly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. In the middle of the night, something startled the man, and he turned and discovered a woman lying at his feet. "Who are you?" he asked. "I am your servant, Ruth," she said. "Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a kinsman redeemer." "The Lord bless you, my daughter," he replied. "This kindness is greater than that which you showed earlier. You have not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you whatever you ask. All my fellow townsmen know that you are a woman of noble character. Although it is true that I am near of kin, there is a kinsman redeemer nearer than I. Stay here for the night. And in the morning, if he wants to redeem, good, let him redeem. But if he is not willing, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it. Lay here until morning." So she lay at his feet until morning, but got up before anyone could be recognized. And he said, "Don't let it be known that a woman came from the threshing floor." He also said, "Bring me the shawl you are wearing and hold it out." When she did so, he poured into it 6 measures of barley and put it on her. Then he went back to town. When Ruth came to her mother-in-law, Naomi asked, "How did it go, my daughter?" Then she told her everything Boaz had done for her and added, "He gave me these 6 measures of barley, saying, 'Don't go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed.'" Then Naomi said, "Wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens, for the man will not rest until the matter is settled today." So we want to continue talking in Ruth and on chapter 3. There are 3 things I'd like for us to pull out of it about love. And the first one is that love provides security. And in verses 1 through 3, it says, "One day, Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, 'My daughter, should I not try to find a home for you where you will be well provided for? Is not Boaz, with whose servant girls you have been, a kinsman of ours? Tonight he will be winnowing barley on the threshing floor. Wash and perfume yourself and put on your best clothes. Then go down to the threshing floor, but don't let him know you are there until he has finished eating or drinking.'" Did you know that God is a great provider? If we will only look around us, we can see his loving provisions. Notice that Naomi, who earlier was kind of bitter about her situation, thinking that God's hand was against her, Now, through the faithfulness of Ruth and the favor of Boaz, Naomi begins to see a ray of hope in the midst of darkness. She goes from having to be provided for to someone who wants to provide. She also knows that she cannot give Ruth a home or living, so she plays the role of matchmaker. She wants to provide for Ruth the security of marriage. Do those whom you love find security in your love? Or are they always having to do something to earn your love? Do you love to make others feel safe and secure? Listen to this. Why did God provide coverings for Adam and Eve after they had sinned? Because he loved them. Why did God provide smoke by day and a fire by night as he led the children to Israel? Because he loved them. Why did God provide voices of repentance through the prophets? Because he loved his people. I think you're starting to get the picture here. Why did God protect Daniel in the lion's den? Because he loved him, exactly. Why did God provide his son as an atoning sacrifice for yours and for my sin? Because he loves us. You see, Naomi sought security for Ruth by obtaining a Hebrew husband for her. In granting her success, God was actually answering a prayer that Naomi had prayed in the first chapter of Ruth. In verse 9, she says, May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband. The thing about it is, God wasn't just answering her request. He was answering it far more than she could have ever imagined, far more than Naomi could have ever dreamed. Did you know that God always provides security for us? Even in times when we're struggling, he is still secure for us. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us." In Christ, God has provided each of us with his secure love. A love that we don't ever have to earn, because there's nothing we could do to earn it. And it is a love that will keep us eternally secure. Did you notice that in verse 3, Naomi actually instructs Ruth to put on her best garments? Did you know that love is the greatest garment you and I could ever wear? It wasn't just the clothes, but it was the love that Ruth had for Boaz. Did you know that we are instructed in our Christian life to put on several garments? Colossians 3:12 through 14 says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." Put on the love of Christ, and you will find the greatest provision of security. The second thing is that love submits and obeys. And we kind of want to look at two sections. The first is 4 and 5, and then the second one is 6 and 7. And I'll read them together because they follow together, but then we'll kind of separate them out a little bit because you'll see different things in them. "When he lies down, note the place where he is laying. Then go and uncover his feet and lay down. He will tell you what to do." "I will do whatever you say," Ruth answered. So she went down to the threshing floor and did everything her mother-in-law told her to do. When Boaz had finished eating and drinking and was in good spirits, he went over to lay down at the far end of the grain pile. Ruth approached quietly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. Submit and obey. Those are words that conjure up some horrible thoughts in many of our minds today. With this idea of living in a free society, many people don't want to submit their lives to others and having to obey them? We desire restraints from all different kinds of freedoms. What we fail to understand is that in the field of love and security, it's not a burden to submit and obey. Ruth listens to the very detailed words of her mother-in-law, and she executes them obediently in verses 4 and 5. She listens, and she obediently follows them. And then in verses 6 and 7, she followed them. And this is what Ruth says. Listen, all that you say to me, I will do. The question is, would you? Would you not obey these words of instructions if you knew that they would bring you security and a hope in life? Be careful how you answer. Maybe answer is easy to say yes, but think about it. John 14, 15 says, if you love me, you will obey what I command. Did you know that love submits? How about our thoughts? Are we willing to submit our thoughts so as not to think less of other people? How about our tongue? So not to talk less about them. Our eyes? So that we don't see other people as less than us. How about our life? So that we can love Christ and love others. Ruth's simple reply shows her trust in Naomi and her submission to her. Here is the key to her obedience. She knows that a place of blessing is found in submission. Have we learned this? That at your feet, O Lord, is the most high place? The very picture of Ruth laying at the feet of Boaz is a beautiful picture of you and I submitting our lives at the feet of God, the Father. Husbands, have you learned this? Wives, have you learned it? Children, have you learned it? Submission is the place of blessing. See, love provides security, love submits and obeys, and now the third thing is love gives and it receives. Verses 8 through 17. In the middle of the night, something startled the man. And he turned and discovered a woman lying at his feet. Who are you? He asked. I just have to stop there. If I wake up in the middle of the night, I'm laying there, and some lady's laying at my feet, and I'm not going to go, who are you? Boy, I'd be squealing. Ah! Who are you? He asked. I am your servant, Ruth, she said. Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a kinsman redeemer. The Lord bless you, my daughter, he replied. This kindness is greater than that which you showed earlier. You have not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you what you ask. All my fellow townsmen know that you are a woman of noble character. Although it is true that I am a near kin, there is a kinsman redeemer nearer than I. Stay here for the night, and in the morning, if he wants to redeem, good. Let him redeem. But if he is not willing, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it. Lay here until the morning. So she lay at his feet until morning, but got up before anyone could recognize, and he said, don't let it be known that a woman came to the threshing floor. He also said, bring me the shawl you are wearing and hold it out. When she did so, he poured out the 6 measures of the barley and gave it to her and sent her back to town. When Ruth came to her mother-in-law, Naomi asked, I could just imagine Naomi all night long, what's happening? How did it go, my daughter? Then she told her everything about Boaz had done, and she even said, he gave me these 6 measures of barley, saying, don't go to your mother-in-law empty-handed. Acts 20:35 says, in everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself, when he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Did you know that when love is received, it continues to give? You know, Ruth could have gone after younger men than Boaz, but she gave her life. She started by giving her life away when she left Moab, forsaking her own people, forsaking her own land, and staying with Naomi. And now, as she lay in submission, she is again giving her life away. Ruth was willing to give her life away so that she might receive life. John 12:25. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it in eternal life. There's a story about a man and his wife. They had been married for 50 years, celebrating their golden wedding anniversary. And having spent most of the day with relatives at a party in their honor, they're now quietly back at home, getting ready to retire for the night. And they decide to have a little snack of tea with some bread and butter. And they go to the kitchen, and the husband opens up the bread, and he takes the very first piece out, which is the heel. And he hands it to his wife. And she explodes at him. And she says, "For 50 years, you have been dumping the heel of the bread on me. I will not take it anymore. This lack of concern for me and what I like," on and on and on she goes in this tirade. Because he offered her the heel of the bread. The husband, he was absolutely astonished. And when she had finished, he quietly said to her, "But it's my favorite piece." Okay, I got one laugh. Okay. That's okay. Boaz willingly receives Ruth's proposal for marriage through the kinsman-redeemer relationship. You see that in verse 9? "Who are you?" he asked. "I am your servant, Ruth," she said. "Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a kinsman-redeemer." See, when you give, you receive. Boaz promises to do all that Ruth has asked of him. He will become her redeemer. And we'll study that in a couple weeks. Love always gives, and love always receives. And in return, love will give again. What I want for us to do right now, we'll continue to talk about the Kinsman Redeemer in a couple weeks. But right now, I want us to see this beautiful picture that's taking place. This picture of love that is made up of provision and submission, obedience, giving, and receiving. And did you know that it all pertains to you and to me? I know this story, it may seem archaic and it may seem old, but do you know that it's not? It's our story. Giving and receiving love as Christians is supposed to be our makeup. It's supposed to be who we are. If there is one quality of the Christian life that ought to outweigh and outshine all the others, it is our love. We are to be known for our love. The tremendous truth of the Bible, which is God's word to us, is that He loves you. And it is by His example of love that He shows how we can love. The Bible declares these words in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 and 2. "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but I don't have love, I'm nothing." See, the story of Ruth in chapter 3, it's a love story. And I think it's fitting to close this chapter out with the words of Paul, as they fit so well in the lives of Naomi, as you read through it, of Naomi and of Ruth and of Boaz. And I hope and pray that somehow they fit into our lives as well. Listen to this, 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8. "Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast. It is not proud, it is not rude, It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. If you look at the lives of Naomi and Ruth and Boaz, you can quickly discover that love never fails. Charles Spurgeon once told the story that while he was riding through the country, he saw a farmer's weather vane, and on the weather vane, on the arrow that pointed, it said, I got to look now to see, it says, God is love. And as he turns in the gate to go talk to the farmer, he says, what do you mean by that? Do you mean that God's love is changeable as the weather changes? And that it veers about and turns to whatever direction the arrow turns? And the farmer says, replied to him, oh no, I mean that whichever way the wind is blowing, God is still love. No matter what is happening, no matter which direction your life is going, no matter what is taking place, God is love. Did you know that God loves you? And when you know that, you can find His provisions. And when you know that God loves you, you can submit to Him in obedience. And when you receive God's love, you can give God's love. It is a love that can only be described as so amazing, so divine. You know, it demands our soul, our life, our all. The words of the song we'll be singing in just a couple minutes. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you, how you love me, how deep, how wide, how great is your love for me. Do you today know that love? Have you experienced the love of God that is so deep, that is so wide? I hope that you do. I pray that you do. If you've never experienced God's love, today would be a great day to do it. Maybe you have, but you're just kind of struggling with a little bit, just not sure. Know that God's love never changes. It is always there for you. Today, you could receive it. Worship team, come on up. I want to pray for you while the worship team is making their way up here. Father, just thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for your love, which is showered out upon us, which is so deep, so wide, so high. It is an amazing love. Lord, I pray that each person here has the opportunity to experience your love, that it is never changing. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, I pray. Amen.